RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
As usual, a bit of ground to cover with Jo McKinnon this morning as she joins us for her regular Talking Horses spot. Good morning to you, Jo.
Good morning, Warren. Yes, I enjoyed that interview with James Cummings. That's so articulate, isn't he, when it comes to Talking Horses. And the win of Alcyone yesterday, earning him a ticket into the Victoria Derby this spring. He looks a lovely stayer in the making.
And feature racing around the country yesterday was at Ipswich. No Ipswich Cup yesterday, but still running the Eyeliner and the Gay Waterhouse Classic. And gee, I keep thinking, when I think of Ipswich Cup Day, Joe, I think of the 4X blow-up mascot being absconded by some revellers on one day. It used to be a wild and woolly day, I think, on Ipswich Cup Day. I doubt there was that type of activity there yesterday.
No, well, unfortunately, due to the circumstances we all face at the moment with COVID, big crowds at racetracks are something of the past at the moment. So no shenanigans like you've alluded to there, but I'm sure hopefully in the years to come they get big crowds back to Ipswich and other tracks around Australia for their feature meetings. Tony Gollan trained one of the feature winners yesterday, and it brought up a milestone for him, Warren, setting a new Queensland state record for winners trained for the season. Solar Star winning one of the features, the Gay Waterhouse Classic, a listed race yesterday, brought his number of wins for the season up to 152.5, bettering the previous best he'd set of 152. And Tony is our guest on Talking Horses this morning. How are you, Tony? Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I'm really well here on a Sunday morning, so everything's in order.
Well, it caps off, firstly, what's been a very successful season for the stable around Queensland.
We've had a really good season. We sort of don't go out there to target records and things like that, but at this, when you get to this probably pointy end of the season, them sort of things start to poke their head up, and it's really good when you can achieve them. I think the whole team is really proud of the effort. I'm just the guy who gets to do the interviews and take some accolades, but really there's a big team of people here behind me, and as all big stables are, no different. So I think all the boys and girls that work here, headed by my assistants and stuff like that, they all take a really good pride in their work here, and it's a really good reflection on the job they do here, and also obviously all the support we get from a terrific owner base as well. So it's been a job well done, and the season's not over yet, so hopefully we can put a few more wins on the board.
No doubt you will. How many horses are you working at the moment, Tony?
We work 90 here at Eagle Farm, so it's a good effort with 90 horses.
And how are you finding the general state of play in Queensland at the moment, given the current challenges we all face?
It's hard to explain. It's a very unusual year, I'm sure. We've probably been one of the least affected industries as far as being able to continue to do our work, so we're very grateful for that. Obviously, our winter carnival was knocked around a lot, but look, we can't have too much to complain about. We've still got jobs to go to. When you look at the situation in Victoria, we're exceptionally lucky. You know, the state of play in Queensland, look, I don't think we're going to judge any area on where they are right now. It's how they're going to, you know, go forward from this COVID mess and whatnot. But being able to keep on racing and have punters keep on betting on our product and whatnot, and I do get the gauge of the returns to racing still being quite good. So it's been a good effort by all the racing jurisdictions to keep racing going through what's been a very tumultuous year.
It certainly has, but the show did roll on at Ipswich yesterday, and you picked up one of the feature races, the listed Gay Waterhouse Classic, Tony, with a very talented daughter of Zoo Star, Solar Star, which you've been training for about a year now since she was picked up out of last year's Magic Millions National Broodmare sales by John Baxter.
Yeah, it's quite a funny story, this mare. Actually, a couple of my clients are the underbidder on a sale, Blackthall Bloodstock. They were the underbidder on this mare, and then I didn't really think much more of it. I've never trained a horse for John Baxter. I've still never seen him in the flesh. And I spoke to him on the phone. And he gave me a call and just asked me, would I train this mare? And I said, sure. And he didn't give me any lofty ambitions. He's just put him in races that you think they can win. And I think if you look at her record over the 12 months we've had her, we've basically done that. We just put her in the races that, you know, that weren't above her grade. And then all of a sudden she kept sneaking up in grade. And I said to him, look, we're starting to carry these really big weights in these restricted races. Why don't we really set this Gay Waterhouse as a target for us? And I think the 1350 is a real key to her now as she's got up in grade, and it's all worked out well yesterday. So he's been John Baxter's only a very new owner to the stable, but he's been very good to train for, giving me very easy tasks with his horse, and it was a real privilege to get that win for her yesterday. And she's certainly a mare that every time she steps out, she puts herself in a winning position and she really fights hard.
And that win important from a marketing perspective for her ahead of the Magic Millions National Broodmare sale, which is coming up very soon, because she's going through that ring again.
Yeah, she is. She's going back in again this year. And, like, you know, we're probably, you know, John's pretty happy to put her through. I think she's got right up in her grade, and that on that win yesterday, her rating's going to go up even more. So I think it'll be a good little turnover for him. She's a lovely bred Zoo Star mare who just gets the job done. So she's going to be a worthy acquisition. Anyone's brood mare fan, she's very athletic sort of mare and quite tenacious. And she's got good speed, and good speedy, well-bred mares are always well sought after. So that valuable black type yesterday will go a long way to getting her a very good home, and I'm sure John a very good return on his money from last year's sale.
And she's not the only well-performed Zoo Star mare that will be going through the sale. Of course, there's been much hype, hasn't there, around Sunlight going through the same ring.
Yeah, she's the flag bearer for this sale. So, I mean, she's a terrific mare, Sunlight. We were lucky enough that Tony stabled her here. She won the Magic Millions. Now, unlucky or unlucky, because she beat us. But we've seen her as an early two-year-old here in Queensland. She stabled at our stables, and she's a real bonny little mare. And she's going to be a worthy acquisition for someone when they buy her, that's for sure and certain.
She is. Going back to Solar Star, Tony, from a training perspective and the approach you take to these types of mares, knowing their prospects as brood mares down the track, so to speak, do you do anything a little bit different with them given that, or you treat them like any other horse in the state?
No, we do train this mare a little bit differently, to be honest. She's sort of not a big fat gross mare. She's quite athletic, well-muscled, sort of filly than mare. What we do with these sort of mares, we tip them out for 4 days after they race. She never stays in the stable between runs. Identified she was a pretty good fresh mare, so we try to always keep that speed in her legs. So every time after she runs, she heads out to Letitia Langbecker's at Embrook. She spends four to five days, what we call freshen up yards, where she's locked up at night. She goes in the treadmill of the morning into a nice grass paddock during the day. So we really try and endeavour to keep these mares ahead in the game, and hence why we can get quite a lot of racing out of them in the season. And you don't seem to see a tired horse. I mean, Showa was an example yesterday. I think she'd been in work for 18 months, basically, without what you would call a conventional spell, with just this freshen up type situations being done with her. So we do train these mares a little bit differently. I really do think it works. I think they stay happy and healthy. And hopefully we're getting the best out of them.
Interesting to hear, Tony. And what it also highlights is the importance of welfare to the way that you run your operation.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, you can't... Unhappy horses don't win races. They've got to be happy and healthy. And we endeavour to try different routines. I mean, some horses like to stay in the stable and, you know, continue their stable life. But then we just find with a few of these, particularly the mares, that we can... If their routine is such that we can get a bit of sun on their back, get a bit of green feed in their tummy, then we can keep them pretty consistent. Obviously, they have to have their share of ability as well, Joe. But, yeah, no, we're trying to look after the horses and keep as happy as we can between runs. And I think it flows onto their performances and keeps everybody happy.
Ultimately flows onto their likelihood of being able to become good producers eventually as well.
Yeah, look, I think so. I mean, I don't think any of these mares of ours that are going to the sale have any problem letting out, getting involved. You know, they're not really, there's none of that, there's no hormone situation up here with these mares anymore. You just, you know, basically feeding them, working them and keeping them happy. So with all the stuff with these mares coming in and out of season and all the different ways we used to have to treat horses, I think we can just keep these mares a little bit happier in themselves. We get rid of a lot of that bitchiness that can come with some of the mares when they start to get sour on racing. So I think when they go to stud, they're going to be pretty happy, healthy mares, and they'll do a really good job for their breeders.
Speaking of welfare, your wife Jane plays a big role with the team, Tony, in many ways, but certainly with the rehoming of horses that are retired from your stable.
Yeah, Jane set up a foundation now, Transitioning Thoroughbreds, which, you know, I certainly think is a great initiative, but she's done it all on her own. I certainly haven't had time to help her in this endeavour, so she's done a great job with it. It's basically what it's called. It's a transitioning period for Thoroughbreds. So instead of them just going from off the track to any person, they sort of take them. They're a charitable organisation. They find out what discipline they're best served for. So they give them, I think it's a 10 or 12 week course of all the three disciplines, the jumping, you know, cross country, dressage, and they work out what level of horse they're dealing with, what discipline they're at best suited to, whether they can be an eventer or a show horse or a jumper or whatnot. And then they'll move them on and give the horses close to what their forever home could be. So basically suit the horse with the right level of rider into the she has professional rehomers and retrainers to do this. So I think it's a very important part of the off-the-track racehorse. We're pretty quick to just get them off the track and get them into a home. And that's all great. That's all great stuff as well. But I think if we can get them into the right home with the right rider, I think your horse is going to get that little bit extra care when he goes on to his new path in life.
No doubt. And already it's proven a great program, because James already successfully placed a number of top-performing horses, particularly in the show ring.
Yeah, she was placing them just before she set up her foundation. She's doing it, you know, ad lib, and she gets nothing, you know, nothing out of this, only satisfaction. There's no monetary reward. There's been no monetary reward for all the work that she's done. It's just something that she's very passionate about, and that's what we always have been here. So we always like to see our horses go to a good home, and she follows their progress and often gives their clients an update on what their horse is doing in their afterlife and stuff like that, which is really, really good. So, no, she's taken from what she was already doing, but she just added another notch to it now and made it more of a, you know, made the system even better than what it was before. So I think it's all pretty exciting space, a good space to be in. And as I said, she's formed a charitable organisation for anyone who donates to Transitioning Thoroughbred tax deduction now. And they really can, you know, and you can see what these beautiful horses can achieve with the right rehoming and retraining heading into their second career.
That's fantastic, Tony. And summing up, as we look ahead to the Spring Carnival, a number of key performances yesterday at Flemington, horses that we may see there later in the year come the big week. What about you? Obviously, with COVID and travel restrictions, it makes things very challenging for interstate trainers. But what sort of horses can we expect to see coming through your ranks in the next few months, the better quality horses?
Probably won't see too much travelling towards Victoria at this point in time, just with the COVID stuff. We've probably just got a bit of an eye towards what's happening there. I've got Outback Barbie back in work. She just doesn't love Eagle Farm, so I'm just keen to probably move majority of her racing away from Queensland, where she's at now. So she'll go for some lower grades of mares races in Sydney at this point in time, but she always races well when we take her to Sydney. So we'll probably take her down there. And I feel like that won a mile listed race here, the Actuary. We might head her towards them nice three-year-old fillies races. 1400 up to a mile there in Sydney as well, with an eye maybe looking at Melbourne with her, but it all depends on the situation with around COVID. So just a couple of filly and a mare. We look to travel down to Sydney. There's a bunch of other nice horses here, young horses, and Zoostyle's back in work also, but I think we'll just see him in Queensland at this stage. So this stage won't be a big team heading away in the spring, but a couple of a mare and a nice filly, and Barbie can show around Sydney and hopefully get them both on the right foot.
Great, Tony, and good job with the mare Solar Star winning the Gay Waterhouse Classic at Ipswich yesterday. It will be most interesting to see what she fetches in the Magic Million sales ring in less than a week's time.
Thanks, Jo. Sure will.
That's Tony Gollan, Queensland's leading trainer. Warren, great to catch up with him this morning to talk about all sorts of things, but what a great job he's done with the Zoostar mare Solar Star.
Yeah, and obviously his wife doing a terrific job with the transitioning of horses out of thoroughbred racing into, as Tony said, hopefully forever homes. But sort of highlighting also when he's programming his horses and looking ahead to the spring, Joe, the sooner we can work our way through the restrictions in terms of, you know, border transfers with people and now with horses, it's certainly going to impact the spring carnival at this stage. It's going to impact it significantly, and hopefully things improve in the months ahead before we get to the stage where final transport plans have to be made and proper preparations planned for horses in terms of where they're physically going to be.
Yes, it would be a complete nightmare for trainers right across Australia at the moment, particularly those with very good horses in their yards that would ideally like to bring them down to places like Melbourne for the spring. A very frustrating year. But as Tony said, we're very fortunate too that the racing show has been able to go on to the extent that it has.
Absolutely. And the Willie Pike Show was certainly continuing in Western Australia at Belmont yesterday. And a horse worth highlighting, Joe, a daughter of Puissance Stallone in Chantria, now making it 6 from 6, taking out the Belmont Classic over 2,200 metres. Could mount a case to say the horse had finished second, was a touch unlucky, but 6 from 6 with Willie Pike aboard for Lindsay Smith. Chantry is building an impressive record.
Yes, she's a fantastic horse, isn't she? And a great flag bearer for Swetnam's Puissance Dallune. Now, 6 from 6 starts with earnings of just under $300,000. She was bred and is part owned by John Jovic, and as I said, a daughter of Puissance de Lune. And among nine winners for the Danzig Connection mare, Mosse, the final foal of her pension dam, Chantria, is the 11th foal and ninth winner from 10 to race out of the four-time winning at Danzig Connection mare, Mosse, a half-sister to the Group 2 VRC Sire Produce Stakes winner and broodmare, Delago Mist, remember her, the dam of stakes winners Instinction, Into the Mist and Shrouded in Mist, so a great family there. And Chantria is now, Warren, one of two stakes winners for Swettenham Stud's Shamadal Stallion, Puissance de Lune, who has subsequently earned a rise in fee this season to $19,800. He's got a number of horses in the upcoming sales, four lots at the English Melbourne Gold Sale and two lots entered in the English Great Southern Sale.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how his progeny progress, because they're unlikely to be too precocious, but they're doing some good things pretty early in the career of Puissance de Lune. So, his best performances on the track, Joe, were that of a horse that could potentially sire an absolute top liner. And I'd think they'd be very happy with the early stages of Puissance de Lune's career as a stallion.
Yes, and it was a mixed week, wasn't it, for the horse's trainer, Lindsay Smith. Of course, they sadly lost Scales of Justice. So the win of Chantria yesterday, good tonic for him and the team.
And the Connections had the winner of Elderflower during the week here in Victoria, and I saw the colours of Chris Wells to the fore with Puckapunyal winning in Perth yesterday. He's got plenty of horses, and it won't take away a lot of the pain of losing a special horse like Scales of Justice, but continuing to have a couple of other winners in those same colours, I suppose at least that the flag continues to fly.
And another horse that we lost during the week was the Queensland legend, Chief De Beers. He died at Living Legends through the week at the ripe old age of 28, and a horse that post his racing career, which has been very much the topic of our discussions this morning, had a great life, didn't he? He did so much, including work in the police force.
Such an endearing horse, and what a great horse he was, and a quirky horse, I suppose, with his record at Doomben and not able to win at Eagle Farm. And Andrew Holmes, a guy who a lot of people would know well through his association with Melbourne Racing Club and other sporting bodies, and now doing some great work with Fight MND. He put out a tweet yesterday, Joe, just saying, when you think of Chief De Beers, it evokes memories of Wayne Wilson's voice. And it certainly struck a chord with me, because when I think of Chief De Beers, I certainly think of Wayne Wilson's calls.
Yeah, they were very colourful, weren't they? But Chief De Beers, he was a son of Hula Chief Warren, and as you alluded to, he was well performed at Doomben. He was known there as the King of Doomben. And in his 51-start career, all of his 20 wins were at Doomben, including the Doomben 10,000, which he won twice in 1995 and 1998 for his trainer, Bill Calder. But what was amazing too about his life and career was what he did after racing, and that was that he joined the Queensland Police Force, and it even saw him fill roles such as a ceremonial escort and search party participant and crowd control horse. So he did great things off the track as well. He was retired from the police force role to take up a paddock at Living Legends in Melbourne, of course, in December of 2012. So he's had almost 8 years at Living Legends, and the team there, condolences to them. They get very attached to these horses. They become like family. He'll be cremated and buried at Living Legends.
Yeah, they're so well looked after at Living Legends, Joe, and inevitably, unfortunately, we're all mortal to some extent, we're all mortal, full stop. But losing might and power and Chief De Beers in a relatively short period of time, although, as I said, it's inevitable, it still is a heavy emotional burden, particularly on the people that are involved there at Living Legends.
Yes, Chief De Beers may rest in peace, a legend of Australian racing, and I'm sure for a number of our listeners, a horse responsible for igniting people's interest in the sport.
You just wanted to touch on, Joe, a real Godolphin pedigree on the dam side, the pedigree of Alcyone being by Teofilo out of Purple, and what a good wet tracker she was, Purple.
Yeah, Purple, a great mare. It's a great story, isn't it, behind Alcyone. His win was quite impressive yesterday, and of course that now makes him exempt from the ballot for the 2020 Victoria Derby. That's a great concept, isn't it, by Flemington?
Yeah, and if it was a filly that was able to win, she'd be exempt from the ballot for the Oaks, and I think it just certainly ignites some debate. Well, it's got us talking about the Derby with the horses in that race, but it's certainly, and it's rare that you would get a field that probably horses are being balloted from that race, but it's great to be able to map out a path for connections, knowing that you've got a ticket in your grand final, so to speak, and you can just run in the races that suit you rather than the races that you think you might have to get your rating up.
Indeed. So he goes to the Spelling Paddock now. A winner, always nice to send them to the paddock on a good note like that, and that was the intention of James Cummings, or so he said during the week. So it's all systems go now, longer term, towards the Victoria Derby with the Alcyone, a half-brother to the four-time winner in stakes place, Lonro Gelding, a Toga Picta. Alcyone is the fourth winner from as many foals out of the Group 1 BRC Queensland Oaks and Group 1 Arrowfield Stud Stakes and Group 2 Matriarch Stakes winner, Purple the Mare, you mentioned, Warren, who was retired with a record of 6 wins and just over $1.1 million in prize money. One of just 2 foals out of the mare by Zabil Lady Viola, Purple descends from the renowned broodmare Teona. Purple has a yearling colt by Tavistock named Marquess and a weanling filly by the Cambridge stud stallion that we lost, sadly, Tavistock. She was covered by Teofilo's son Kermadec last.
Great work as always, Joe. Look forward to doing it all next week, and certainly look forward to seeing Solar Star go through the Magic Millions broodmare sale in the near future.
Yeah, it'll be most interesting, won't it, to see what she fetches off the back of that win yesterday at Ipswich.
Won't quite be as much as Sunlight, I think, but I'm sure the gut connections will be well rewarded. It's 21 to 9 here on RSN 927. Back with Ray Thomas shortly.